most important rule of thumb that any contractor can follow in 2026 is the 5-minute rule. They've done studies on this, and they know that if you get back to a lead within 5 minutes, that chance you have a conversation with them goes up by 900%.
Another analogy I like to use is this: you're building a better mousetrap where people are already going to your website, but you're capturing more of the traffic. What that does, it actually converts more of the leads that you're getting. So sometimes you don't need to get more traffic. You just actually build a better mousetrap.
Somebody like is a lead from ChatGPT. Roughly, it's around 10 to 15x higher conversion rate. So that's 1,000 to 1,500% higher conversion rate if it's an AI-based lead versus if it's just a traditional Google lead.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
What's up, guys? Super excited to have Marcus Sheridan on the show. Really excited to have him on the show. He's a great person that you should listen to. And we're going to talk about all the different things that we talk about in terms of marketing, AI, and Endless Customers, his new book that came out that I read, that I highly recommend you guys read as well. So welcome to the show, Marcus.
Happy to be here, Mauricio, and I think we're going to have a good conversation. There's a lot happening. The world of home services, home improvement, it's just wild. I've not seen changes like this in my 25 years of being a business owner. And so this is an important conversation today.
Yeah. Marcus, the first thing you said is that trust is the new algorithm. What does that mean in a world where AI is now answering customer questions?
If you look at what we've had to do for 20 years is we had to make the homeowner happy and we had to make Google happy. And if you did that well enough, you were sustainable. You were getting the leads that you needed, and a lot of businesses were successful that way. But if you look at Google, what is Google? You go there, and it shows you a bunch of blue links. And you get to choose which one of those blue links you want to click. Now, do you really think that's the future of the way people are going to learn online? Or is the future one where they're working with a, quote, agent, and that agent, the AI, knows them, and based on what it knows about them, it gives them an answer. It's not a bunch of blue links. It's a specific answer. Not only does it give an answer, it gives them a justification of the answer that they gave them, and then it gives them the ability to take action on that answer. That's our future. That's AI. And a lot of people don't realize that. And you know, the biggest issue I'm seeing with home improvement contractors right now is they're just not, in home services, they're not paying attention to this massive shift. Because the way it works with AI, unlike Google, is like with Google, there's so many options on the screen. You might not be the top one or two, but oftentimes you were there and you could pay money to be there. If you weren't there, you could pay money, right? Enough money, you're going to be shown. That's not how it works with AI. The way that works with AI is pretty full stop. You either recommended or you're rejected. Boom. You're recommended or you're rejected. There's not like, oh, click on page two and maybe I'm there, or page three. No, you're just not there at all. You're not in the answer. And this is where all of your buyers, your customers, are going in this direction, where they're going to be using AI. They're going to be getting an answer. The question for you is, are you going to be in that answer or not? And where trust comes into play here is this. Because AI is obsessed with giving the accurate, best answer possible. They don't want to give a wrong answer. They don't want to give a bad recommendation. Every single adjustment and evolution of AI since they came out has been meant to fix this idea of somebody searching and saying, oh, I used AI and it wasn't very helpful for this. It gave me the wrong answer for this. Well, guess what? You're not going to be saying that in a year or two. You're not ever going to say, at some point, we're not going to ever say again, AI was wrong on that, because it's going to be so bloody accurate with everything, and it's going to know us so well That's our future. That's where we're headed. So you got to win the trust of the human, because that's never going to change. You got to win the trust of the AI. And if the human doesn't trust you, you got problems. And if the AI doesn't trust you, you don't get recommended, you get rejected. And that's what we've got to fix. And it doesn't get fixed by simply throwing money at it and saying, okay, I'm going to spend $5,000 a month on Google Ads. Because the day could come when people aren't really using Google Ads anymore. Now that it's not today. My pool company is using Google Ads today. We need to use it today. It drives important traffic and leads and sales today. But I don't know in 4 years if Google Ads is going to be something we're going to be doing, because the world is changing that fast, which means I better dominate when it comes to AI visibility. And AI sure as heck better be recommending me. And they're only going to recommend me if they trust me, and I got to give them every reason to trust me. That's why it is so essential.
What do contractors need to do on their end to build trust with AI?
Well, we call this phenomenon trust signals. And trust signals are any piece of content that's ever been produced by you, your company, or by someone about you is a trust signal. So every review about you is a trust signal. Every article on your website is a trust signal. Every tool on your site is a trust signal. Every video on YouTube you produce is a trust signal. Every piece of content is either going to tell AI this company's worth recommending or not. Now, within these trust signals, there's very specific things that AI is looking for. And if you do not do these things, you could be in very, very big trouble. One of the biggest developments that I've seen in years happened over the last about week. I don't know if you've seen this, Mauricio, but there's this new feature when you do a near me search, okay, that is the online estimate feature. Right now, somebody goes online, clicks new roof near me, right? or roofers near me, or whatever contractor near me. The first thing Google shows now, underneath the search bar, is this little call to action circle that says online estimate. So Google is funneling people towards an online estimate. What happens when you click on the online estimate? Well, they show companies that have estimators. Now, why do they do this? Because this is exactly what the homeowner wants. This is what the customer wants. This is what the searcher wants. Google knows that. So they want to give, they've always wanted to give the best, most specific, relevant answer to the search, to the query, to the need, to the problem. And so now, what's this lead to? This leads to table stakes that these companies, home services, are going to be required to have estimators. What we've seen now, I've got two different software companies that give me a lot of data that people don't necessarily have access to. One of my companies is called AI Trust Signals. And AI Trust Signals is a tool, it's quite robust, that allows you to see how likely AI is to trust your brand, your company. And it tells you specifically where you're strong and where you're weak, the things that you're doing right, the things that you're doing wrong. Let me give you an example. The most common one that we see contractors have as a problem is inconsistent NAP, or name, address, phone number. You've seen this a million times, Mauricio, like you deal with it all the time. Google doesn't like it when you've got an inconsistent NAP. AI doesn't like it when you've got an inconsistent NAP. You need to have this same information across the board so that it legitimizes your business. Okay, so that's an example. So a lot of companies score poorly on that and then have to go and identify, okay, here's where I had it wrong. Here was a platform that I had the comma wrong, or the zip code was wrong, or whatever was wrong. Okay. So this tool, AITrustSignals.com, I've got thousands of companies that have used it, that we've got tests for. We see these things. If you want to test your trust signals, just go there, AITrustSignals.com, and you can get a free score. There's a free version of it. You can get a free score, and it'll tell you where you are. It'll tell you what you need to work on. Now, I also have a tool that is called PriceGuide.ai. And what PriceGuide.ai does, it allows contractors, home services to quickly and easily build estimators. Now, for years, I've known the power of estimators for lead generation. The problem is a lot of these home services companies, they refuse to talk about price because they're living in the year 2000. Really dumb on their part. And if you're listening to me, yes, that's right. I just said it. It's dumb because it was dumb when I wasn't doing it. I recognize that. I've got the self-awareness to see what the problem is and what the problem was. You see, the first question that any buyer has when they know they have a problem, a need, if somebody says, you know, I want to remodel my house. If someone says, hey, I need a new roof. Someone says, hey, I need a, you know, my HVAC unit broke. Okay, the first question they have is roughly how much is this going to cost? That's the first question. Google knows this is their first question. It's one of the most prolifically searched. I talk a ton about this in Endless Customers. I've talked about it in They Ask You Answer, my first book. This is a conversation I've been teaching businesses about for 15 years. I also saw in my mind, I could clearly see where the whole world was going to be, where just like every contractor today has a website, pretty much you got to have one today, where in the future, every contractor is going to have a pricing estimator on their website. And this doesn't mean that they're giving an exact quote. What it means is they're giving a general range for their product or service, therefore addressing that first question that everybody has, which is roughly how much is this going to cost? Now, what we've seen because of Price Guide is those companies that have estimators are now getting way more referral traffic from AI. They're getting way more referral traffic from AI summaries. They're getting way more referral traffic from paid ads because they can now use the immediate estimate feature within your Google Suite. So this is why if you're listening to this right now, within the next 2 to 3 years, 100% of your peers, you may or may not want to believe it. You might say, well, he has an estimator tool he's trying to sell. That's why he's saying this. No, no. Go to Google. Look at the two biggest changes Google has made in the last few weeks. Number one was when they said, you go online, you do a search, and it tells you, like on your phone, have AI check prices. So somebody goes and they say, new roof near me. And they see this thing that says, have AI check prices. They click on it. And what happens is Google asks them a series of questions. And then Google reaches out to the contractor. Automation, and they get the information, they bring it back in the form of a report to the homeowner. Now, the homeowner therefore now has an estimate and they never talked to the contractor. You see what's happening here? And this is where the world is headed. I've seen it. It's just been obvious to me. So that's why I've got 1,000 companies that are using this estimator tool and they're crushing it with AI and AI visibility. So that's just the estimator, it's just one component of pricing. You should have a full page on your website that talks about how much your particular service costs. And you talk about what drives the cost up. You talk about what drives the cost down. You talk about financing. You talk about all the things that people want to know. You should have a video that fully talks about that on your site and on YouTube. You should have an estimator, like I just discussed, for every major service you offer. See, these are the things that are all trust signals. Now, that's just one. That's one of many trust signals. There's actually dozens that AI uses to say, I'm going to recommend you. You're going to be in the answer. You're going to be recommended or, again, you're going to be rejected.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you just said. I think this is something that has been moving towards too. Right? And in the roofing space, there's companies like Roofer and Roofle, I'm sure you heard of, that are like similar. And HVAC, I'm sure they have their own. But your company also does that as well. And I see that the value 100%. Why do you think a lot of contractors are hesitant to actually include pricing on their website?
There's three fundamental fears that people have. And again, I've been doing this for years. I have now hundreds and hundreds of case studies where when a contractor is willing to talk about this, they see immediate uptick in leads and trust in sales. Now, there's three major reasons why we don't want to talk about it. The first major reason is we say, well, every job is different. It depends. It's customized, etc. Now, this is why if you have a pricing page of your site, you talk about all the factors that drive cost up and down, why some contractors are expensive, why some contractors are so cheap. Like, you can control what the market understands about buying this thing, how they shop. You're literally teaching them how to shop. if you have an estimator, you're going to give a range. You're not going to give an exact price. And so based on the questions they ask, it's no different than if I called any contractor that's listening to this right now, and then if I said to you, hey, listen, I'm not going to hold you to it, but could you give me a general rough sense for how much I might spend on this project, which every contractor has been asked about 1,000 times. What they're going to say is, well, you know, I really need to come out to your house. I know, but could you just give me a sense? If the person has enough integrity in that moment to give them a sense, they're going to say, well, first I need to ask you a couple questions. They're going to ask a few questions, right? For a swimming pool, because I'm a, you know, pool contractor still to this day. I own a swimming pool company in Virginia. We're asking things like, okay, what size pool do you want? What type of patio do you want? How much patio do you want? What special options or features do you want? Things like that, right? And so after we ask that series of questions, we're able to say, yeah, based on what you said, I think you're probably going to be somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000, right? That's how an estimator works. It's the same exact way. But what it does now, it allows that person to say, okay, now I have a sense. Now I know if I'm in the game or not. So the first reason we don't do it is because we say every job is different. That one, like I said, we can dispel that one very quickly. We just did. Second reason why contractors say, I don't want to discuss this, is because they say, well, I don't want my competitors to see my pricing. They're not going to see your pricing. They're going to see a rough estimate as to what it costs. So, and the thing about it, though, is if I ask most people listening to this, do you have a rough sense as to what your competitors charge? You would say yes. You know what your competitors charge. They know what you charge. This is the big secret, non-secret. Everybody acts like nobody knows what everybody's charging, when in reality, everybody's got at least a sense as to what everybody else is charging. And besides that, your competitors, the last I looked, they don't pay your bills. So why the heck would you base any decision on what the competition is or is not doing? That means you're being reactive, not proactive. That means you're not a market leader. You're a market follower. And to me, that's just appalling. Like, I don't want to be a follower. Like, the only people I'm following is the man upstairs, right? And my family. That's it. And, you know, like, we're rolling, man. So I'm not following the competition. They're not my guiding light. And I hope they're not your guiding light either. Now, either. The third reason why companies don't talk about cost and price is they say, well, if they see we're more expensive, we're going to scare them away. Also not true. The thing that scares people away, we have found this, we got the data on this, is when they can't find what they're looking for online, when they get no answer. Ignorance online is way more scary for the shopper than the person that has a general sense for value. So the person that can't find any information on what a pool costs versus the person that says, okay, there's different types of pools. There's three types. The average price range for each is this much. Here's the pros and cons of each. That person, they're ready to go. They feel confident. They feel comfortable. But the person that has no sense, they don't move. They don't take action. That's a big, big problem. And so those three myths, we've dispelled them over and over again. That's the reason why these contractors aren't doing it. The other reason is just because it's not as common, but it's going to be common. The sad thing is everybody is going to do it, Mauricio. Like, this is where we're headed. Everybody's going to do it. They may or may not know they're going to do it. Most of them in their gut know they're going to probably have to do it eventually because that's where we're headed. By the way, this isn't commoditizing the service. It's not commoditizing it. What commoditizes something is when somebody is ignorant of value and therefore they choose the cheapest thing. So for example, if your estimator, all it did was just give a price, that's not good. Let me give you an example. Like, let's say if it was a roofing estimator. If the tool, all it does, ask them, okay, how big's your roof? And it measures the size of the roof and then it gives them a price range. That's not very helpful. That's commoditizing. Whereas, if you ask that question plus other questions, for example, what would you like the lifetime of the product to be that you're going to put on your roof? You know, choice A, I just need something for a quick replacement. I'm going to sell my house tomorrow. Choice B, I plan on being here for 10 years. C, I want 25 years or more. D, I want a lifetime product that me and no one else ever has to worry about again. I want the top notch. That's an important question, right? So when you ask that question, it helps really define, okay, this is really what this person is looking for. And it helps them understand what value means in the marketplace. So these are the types of things that, you know, we see people making mistakes on, see contractors making mistakes on. But every time we do it, when somebody adds a pricing estimator to their website, for example, we see a 300 to 500% increase in leads the day they add it. Can you believe that, Mauricio? 3-5x. Why would you not do this as a contractor? Blows my mind. This is why Google's all in. Google is saying you have to have an estimator now, contractors. Otherwise, you're not going to get the love that I'm going to give to everyone else that does. This is not. I'm not making this up. I just was ahead of the game because I've been in the head of the game. Like, I see where buyers are headed, and then I build things based on where they're headed. This is how I created the most traffic swimming pool website in the world with River Pools. And this is now what I'm helping other folks do because I want them to be ahead and not be behind, and I don't want them to have the financial struggles that I had as a contractor back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, what kind of questions, depending on the service for each vertical, like if it's pool service or roofing, do you have those questions? I'm sure there's a science behind the questions you ask for the estimator, right? There has to be like a science behind those questions.
Yeah, there's some science behind it, but a lot of it is you want to ask questions that help them understand, force them to choose the quality of the product or the experience that they want. All right. So just like I did with the roof, how long do you want it to last? With a swimming pool, you know, I'm going to ask questions like, how many people would you like to fit comfortably in your pool? That's going to dictate size more than anything else. I'm going to ask things like, do you want full-time security and coverage on your pool whenever you're not in it? Or do you feel like that's not necessary? That dictates whether or not they get an automatic cover, right? So, you know, there's going to be things like we generally are going to ask things like budget. For example, we might say, like, if I'm a landscaper, I would say, so are you, in terms of your backyard project, were you thinking less than 10,000, 10 to 50,000, or 50,000 or more? I actually want to know where their head's at. By the way, those are pretty safe ranges. That's pretty common. What I just described, that's like pretty accurate ranges for landscaping. And when somebody puts that in, now all of a sudden you know where they stand. I've had a lot of contractors that said, man, I love my estimator. I love it for leads, but I really love it for quality of appointments. Because what happens is I've got some contractors that are like, as soon as I get a lead, if they didn't come from the estimator, I make them do the estimator. Because it means that we have a much better appointment when we get together and talk. Yeah. See that?
Yeah.
That's powerful, dude.
What kind of things do the contractor needs to do on their end? Because I've had multiple examples of contractors installing estimators that for whatever reason didn't know how to handle the lead. Think what do you think they need to do on their end to handle those types of leads?
Well, there's best practices for estimators. There's best practices for follow up. Let me give you an example of this. Like, first of all, for the estimator itself, you should have very visually on the top half of the homepage, get instant estimate. That's the magic phrase. Instant estimate. Get instant estimate. Now, when they click on that, then that takes them to the estimator experience, whatever it is. But that's the magic. Homepage, very visible. Use the phrase get instant estimate, okay? Now, within the estimator itself, you want to be careful about not being assumptive that they know what the heck you're talking about. That's why when you build the estimator out, let's say you're giving it an options, and let's say it's for a new patio, right? And you're like, or here's your options. You can have regular concrete, you can have stamped concrete, you can have pavers, or you can have stone. That's four different options. Right now, let's say the person says, like, I don't really know what stamped concrete even is. Well, that's when you should have like some explainer where next to the option, they can click on a learn more button and learn more about that thing. Just like if they were talking to the salesperson in the home, the salesperson said, hey, have you considered what type of patio surface you want? You know, here's your four options. Well, they're going to explain in that moment what those four different options are. So you would want to do this with your estimator too. So you don't want to be too assumptive. You want to make sure that you're explaining the question that you're asking because some people won't understand what it means. So that's another one that we see. Then you also want to make sure that you, if you have the type of service that people finance, then you want to have financing as part of your answer, ideally. You can't always, but that, like, that's a good thing to do. So for example, I might say for the end result of the pool estimator, I might say, hey, you know, it looks like you're going to spend between $100,000 and $150,000. So typically this means somewhere between, you know, $900 to $1,800 a month payment. All right. So that's a really good best practice. We're actually adding that right now to Price Guide. Then when it comes to the follow-up, if somebody on the, on the estimator tool, you can have essentially a button they can click or a box they can check that says, hey, you know, would you like to have someone give you a very specific quote as well? And now that is the person that they've gone through the estimator, and then they say, hey, I actually want to get a call on this too. Now you can call those people if you get the number when they do the estimator, or you can just reach out to them from an email perspective. But you want to have a remarketing campaign. You want to have a reach out campaign. If I would like a call, the most important rule of thumb that any contractor can follow in 2026 is the 5-minute rule. They've done studies on this, and they know that if you get back to a lead within 5 minutes, that the chance you have a conversation with them goes up by 900%. For example, if you wait after somebody fills out a form and says, hey, I want to talk to somebody about my project. If you wait 10 minutes, by that point, little Johnny called mommy and she's got to go pick him up at school. She's got no time to talk to you now. And, oh, gee, their HVAC unit broke and there went the budget for the patio. Whatever it is, right? So it's like, point being is, you got to talk to the lead within 5 minutes. And that means you call them if they gave you their phone number. This is a general best practice for any contractor. I mean, it is, people are expecting you to take forever. And this is why you see the businesses that reach the 100 million mark in the industry, and I know a lot of them, all have call centers because it's immediate. Bam. They just, there's no lag time. Someone fills out a freaking form, they're getting contacted immediately. No waste, no frustration on the part of the homeowner.
Yeah, speed to lead. It's like doing the fundamentals in business, like blocking and tackling. If you want to be successful,
100%, dude.
Blocking and tackling is going to make you
successful. That's right. And if you've watched my Washington Commanders, they do not block and tackle, and they suck. So this is, you know, this is why that's always going to be important. But the issue is people are more impatient today because the bar has been raised. Contractors are notorious for taking a while to get back. Because the problem is oftentimes the guy that's, you know, digging the hole is the same guy that's making the phone call. That's a problem. That's why, you know, call service centers are so helpful. That's why you're going to see a lot of companies using AI, you know, call services as well to overcome some of these issues. But speed to lead, man, it's huge. You know, did you realize in the industry, Mauricio, 78% of the time the homeowner goes with the first company they had a full conversation with? Not the first company that reached out to them. The first company they have a conversation with. So this is why it's a domino effect. If you get back to them within 5 minutes, there's a 900% chance that you have a full conversation. Better chance that you have a full conversation. If you're the first to have a full conversation, you're 78% of the time going to get the job. You see what just happened? Like, ding, ding, ding. Okay, I got to be fast. I got to be immediate.
Yeah, and also too, if you're also giving them the estimator, and then on top of that, if you have a way to actually schedule the meeting with them, ideally like an in-home consultation or a virtual call, whatever you're comfortable with, that's even better. If you actually not only have the estimator, but also even do the appointment the same day, that's even better because you're getting the information and the information they actually want.
That's right.
Send the estimate, that's even better. So if you're doing all that right out of the gate, then that's how you convert more of the leads that you have, right?
Do you know what's nuts though, Mauricio? 90% of the people that have listened to this conversation, they're not even going to do what we just said. That's the thing that blows my mind the most. Like, we've already established that Google's going to force you to have an estimator. All your competitors are going to have it. Most of you are not going to do it. It blows my freaking mind. And you're going to complain about leads. And it makes me sad. And I say this as a contractor that's fighting for leads, that I eat all of my own dog food. You go to River Pools right now, riverpoolsandspas.com, you're going to see an estimator. Bam, front and center. It's going to hit you over the head. It's our number one lead driver. You know, it has been the most essential tool to my business that I can think of from a marketing perspective. We were the first in the industry to do it. Like, so if I'm telling it to you, it's because I've tested it. And I have all these other contractors. Man, the amount of stories I see every day from contractors saying, hey, I was in trouble and we put that estimator on there and this is the impact that I had on the business. Dude, I get that all the time. But now what's happened because of AI penalizing companies for not doing it and Google also penalizing you by showing everyone that has it and not showing the ones that don't have it, it's just crazy. I mean, I just wish that we were people of action, but humans tend to just have this thing called law of diminishing intent. Right, it's like the longer we delay doing something we know we need to do, the more likely we are to never to do it. That's the law of diminishing intent. And it's really sad because a lot of people just aren't going to take immediate action. The greatest CEOs and the happiest people I know are the ones that immediately take action when they feel an impression that something is important. They don't wait. They don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. They're just like, no, I'm just going to do this right now.
Yeah. I think it's also a lack of kind of education in the space as well. It's a big part of that, of the reason why that's happening. And you're right. So like the biggest, most successful companies do have call centers. They have speed to lead. They've been doing it for a long time. But obviously the way they get the lead is actually changing everything, right? You mentioned earlier, you said that your company, River Pools, is the most trafficked pool company in the world in terms of visitors, right? For the website traffic. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Well, that happened because of what you read about and they ask, you answer, and Endless Customers, the books. But basically, we said, all right, we're going to become truly obsessed with the questions buyers want to know, and we're going to address every single one of them on our website. We're not going to hold anything back. We're just going to lean into this really, really hard. And that's what we did. And, you know, it was like, if you right now, as a contractor, if you took every question you get asked on a sales call, and you said to yourself, have we addressed this well on the website already? If the answer is no, that's a ding against you. So I would literally hear questions all day long because I was selling in the home. And I would just first think to myself, do we have an article? Do we have a video about that on a website? And oftentimes at first the answer was no. And so I was like, everything. You know, somebody says, how do you compare against this competitor? Okay, I'm going to talk about it. Somebody said, so if I didn't go with you guys, who else would you recommend in the area? Like who are the best contractors, pool contractors in Richmond? You know, we would talk about that. We openly talked about the competition, not negatively, but openly talked about the competition. We talked about pricing. We talked about the fears that homeowners had. Are pools ugly? Does a fiberglass pool pop out of the ground? Does a fiberglass pool crack? Like, these are all fears that people had. They would ask. So they asked, we answered. Full stop. That's why that's the name of the book, to ask, you answer. And that system, that framework has been embraced by, I mean, many thousands of contractors now, and they just keep hitting home runs every time they do it. And AI loves it. I mean, AI, this is why I wrote Endless Customers, because I wanted to do the iteration of the ask, you answer for AI, this AI era that we're now in. And I wanted contractors to be the one that was recommended by AI. And if you follow what's in that book, I mean, you're going to be. I mean, pricing estimator, it's in there, you know, and all these other things that we're talking about. They're all in there, dude. They're all in there.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly what you're saying is the type of content that actually works with AI. People say it's GEO or AEO, yeah. Right? Like it's AEO, answer engine optimization. The fact of like even... because people don't like talking about the competitors, but if you actually start providing content that is, hey, these are the best, you know, pool companies in Richmond, Virginia, and just say, maybe you can mention yourself, but even talk about the benefits of your competitors. I know you talked about that in your book. That actually is when AI searches for that answer, they're going to cite your website as the source for that answer. Mm-hmm. And it's a very common, very common reason, right? So that's important as well. If I was like a contractor, right, and I'm doing like $5 million in sales, say a remodeler in Miami, which is very competitive, a lot of kitchen and bathroom remodeling, and they're competing against companies that are doing 100 million. How do you become the most trusted voice in their market? Just say for a local market, how do you do that?
Well, I can guarantee you their competitor ain't got no pricing estimator on their website yet. I guarantee you that they are not discussing cost conversations. They're not discussing competitors. They're not discussing the biggest fears that buyers have and leaning into them. They're not leaning into video as hard as they should. Those are the majors right there. You know, you gotta say what others aren't willing to say online. You gotta show what others aren't willing to show. You gotta be willing to sell in a way others aren't willing to sell. And you gotta be more human. You know, let me give you another example of what you can do. Let's say, you know, you get a lead. Could you send that person a video immediately introducing yourself? Of course you could. Would it make a strong impression on the homeowner? They'd be blown away by it. Do you think your biggest competitor's doing that? Nope. I can already tell you they're not doing it. Almost nobody in the home improvement space does one-to-one video. Some of the contractors that I've worked with directly, because I've got a sales training company as well, part of our sales methodology is 100% of the time when we get a lead and when we've gone on an appointment, we do a pre-video, we do a post-video, and then we do a post-sale video. This is why you do that. You're going to guaranteed to get a great review, first of all, and they're going to love you. And you're going to stand out. You're going to humanize your brand even more. These are things that people say, oh, I don't know how scalable that is. And that's the stuff that I get excited about, because that big monster competitor of yours ain't going to do it. They're not going to have that soul that you have. And, you know, in fact, if you're a little bit smaller than that monster, you got some serious advantages because you don't have the red tape they got. So you can move quick, you can be nimble, you can be fast, you can break rules, you can experiment. You know what I mean? It's like, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. And I would win. And then eventually, I would become the monster.
Yeah, and exactly, I think I heard this talk from the Banana Man. I don't know if you've seen him before, but from Savannah Banana, the baseball company.
Jesse Cole. Jesse's a friend.
He's great.
He's a big Ask Answer fan too, by the way. A lot of what he did early on, you know, with transparency, came from the Ask You Answer.
Yeah, exactly, and exactly what you're saying. Doing things that are not scalable is a good thing to start doing right away. Like it's something that. It's going to be manual process. There's no way to like automate it. You just do it manually and it's going to create a connection and potentially increase your, I think it's going to increase your. Right. And in terms of like another analogy I like to use is in terms of the estimator is you're building a better mousetrap, right? You're building a better mousetrap where people are already going to your website, but you're capturing more of the traffic that people are already going. And that what that does, it actually converts more of the leads that you're getting. And that's another way to do it. So sometimes you don't even need to get more traffic. You just actually build a better mousetrap. And that actually is a...
That's exactly right. And you got to iterate that mousetrap over the course of time. You know, that's why, you know, frankly, and you didn't pay me to say this, this is why working with agencies like yours, Mauricio, is important to the listener, because they're just not going to iterate like an agency is. I mean... They just don't. It's like you take paid ads. Paid ads, as you know, require iteration. And why is this? Because markets vary. Things change. Trends change. This is why, you know, despite the fact that I created all my content in-house, like with River Pools, and I teach that with endless customers, I tell people outsource your paid, because you'll never have the data like that. You just don't have the data that somebody else like that's in the game every day and that has hundreds, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of clients. They got way more data than you got. So it's like, don't argue against, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Whereas I don't see outsourcing your video content to be very effective. It doesn't generally work. You got to do that in-house. And you like pick up your dang phone, you know, stand on the roof, record a video, and, you know, maybe give it to somebody to upload for you, whatever, edit it for you. But you should be doing that yourself. You can't get around that. But in terms of the things that you should be outsourcing, yeah, like paid is a major one of those, like paid ads. I don't want to do paid ads. River Pools, all the traffic we get, we still do paid ads. And I outsource that. I don't insource it, because every time I've tried to insource it, we did it poorly. Full stop. we're not going to do it as well as somebody else. So, you know, if you're a jack of all trades, you're going to be a master of none. And so you know, that's why a good agency doesn't say, hey, I work with every industry in the world. A good agency says, hey, I work with home improvement contractors, for example. You see what I'm saying? It's like, that's the good ones, because they know their lane, because they get way more data now within that specific industry.
Yeah. You have a unique perspective because you work with a lot of agencies yourself. You coach a lot of agency owners.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're a contractor yourself. You also work with a lot of contractors. There's a lot of frustration, right, with a lot of contractors that have hired multiple agencies. And obviously there are a lot of agencies that overpromise and underdeliver. That is for sure a valid concern. What do you think contractors need to do on their end to hire a successful partnership? And what do you think the vice versa agency should be doing on their end?
First of all, I think everybody needs to grow up a little bit and be more honest with each other. Biggest issue that I see with agencies is they're not bluntly honest with the contractor. And sometimes the contractor isn't always honest with them. So it's got to be a high level of self-awareness and a high level of mutual respect and candor. Candor is a big deal. Somebody works with me, you know, I'm going to give them a 2x4 truth all the time. And if they can't handle that, we're not going to work together. And I expect them to be honest and explicit with me as well, to hold nothing back. Why would we? Life's too short to sit there and like walk around the subject. Just say the thing that you're thinking, right? This makes me effective in front of an audience. I'm a very effective speaker at these different conferences because I'm going to tell people the full truth. I'm not going to filter it. And I'm in their world. I'm living it just like they are. So, you know, that's how it works. Also, when it comes to, you know, that relationship, you got to understand that there's no such thing as like you work with an agency and then you just go to sleep and you wake up. And then there's leads underneath the Christmas tree. Like, come on now. You got to do your part. It's a two-way street. So the agency has to do their part. You've got to do your part. And that's, you know, that's always evolving. I also think agencies are really terrible sometimes at convincing or educating their clients to make good choices. Let me give you an example. With Price Guide, we have an agency partner program. And a lot of the agencies have told me, yeah, I told my client about having an estimator, and they said, no, we don't want to do that. Okay. And you're telling me you couldn't because if they hear me talk about it, they're doing it. If they read the Ask Your Answer, they're doing it. They see me talk about it from stage, they're going to say, why are we not doing this? But yet all these agencies are so passive in their recommendations. Be a dang expert. Give the blunt truth. Don't sit there and say, have you thought about this? Like, hey, we need to do an estimator. Here are the reasons why. Here's what's happening with Google. Do you understand the impact here? Okay, let's not mess around. Hey, AI visibility is getting huge. You need to make sure that AI is recommending you. Here are the things that we got to do. Do you see this? Okay, well, let's get it done. So there's too much order taking with agencies, not enough coaching. They need to be better coaches. And a lot of them are pretty crappy at it. So I would say those are the majors.
Honestly, it took me 8 years to finally know that. It took me 8 years to that because I wasn't doing that before. Honestly, straight up, I was not doing that before. We were not doing that before.
Yeah, and then lose authority with the client, and they don't respect you as much, and you're a yes man. I mean, you know, we don't need more yes people in this world. What we need is true coaches, consultants, strategists that we respect, mutual admiration for each other. That's what's up.
Exactly. And I 100% agree with you. The business model, I think, because I want to put your perspective. This is my interpretation of this is that agencies, it's a service business, right? It's a service business that you sell to, you know, industries. But in reality, I think you have to kind of look at it more as an enterprise software. And a good example is a company like ServiceTitan, And here's what I mean by that, right? So Service Titan charges about $500 per user. It's a very expensive system. You know, if you're a small business, you're paying $15,000 to $2,000 a month, which is very expensive for CRM. So they have something I just knew about this month is that it takes them 12 months to onboard a new client, a new customer. And it's a pain in the ass. I actually talked to several business owners at a conference recently. They have it's a painful experience in the beginning, but after 12 months, they're extremely happy with the product and the visibility it gives them. And why they do that, right? So they invest a ton of resources, right, into their onboarding, their training, right? But they know that it's going to pay off because the average client stays with them 7 years. So their lifetime value, they understand they'll invest the resources, the training. The training is usually once a week, 2 to 3 hours. We're not only training the owner, but training the entire team how to use it. And they built it for them, for the actual home service company. So that is the issue that we're in, really. It's a kind of enterprise software. Sales, I don't know if Salesforce is similar, but that's like you have to invest a lot of training and onboarding. And then finally understanding, hey, this is actually it works. What it takes on your end to be successful, here's what we're going to do on your end. And then that's how it works. So if you look at the pricing, it is similar pricing because if the agency server is between, I say, $2,000, $10,000, or even $15,000, that's expensive. It's the first thing that a lot of small businesses cut off if it doesn't go, things go away. So that's kind of the mindset that I've been starting to have and understand. You know, I want to say, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, but all this goes back to that self-awareness I was talking about, to being seen as a coach, agencies being more real. And the bar has to be raised. You know, people want more respect for the trades. We got to respect ourselves a little bit better. But there's going to be this incredible renaissance of the trades because of what's happening with AI. It's a very exciting time. And a lot of people are going to be looking to get into the trades. And I think we're just going to see the golden age of the trades is going to be upon us now. It's very, very exciting to me, by the way.
Yeah. I think, what do you think the future is going to look like in terms of technology and AI with specific with the trades? How do you think that's going to impact?
Well, I think a lot of companies in the trades are going to get a lot more efficient when it comes to sales, when it comes to marketing. We're going to see a lot of things done with AI there. I don't foresee anytime soon, you know, robots rolling around in your crawl space. I think that's going to take some time. And that's why there's a much wider moat of protection for the trades, where AI is not going to cause the job loss, but AI is coming for white collar. There's no question. It's coming for white collar. And the extent to which it's going to affect us is hard for me to say right now. Because look, if you say it's going to cost a million jobs, everybody gets depressed. If you say that it's only going to lead to abundance, everybody's like, that's probably BS. I think it is going to lead to incredible abundance eventually. I think there's going to be a painful period between now and then. I do. I don't know what this means for me as a pool guy. You know what I mean? It's like, I do know that in the office, I need to be using AI right now. And I need to be getting better at using AI right now. In the field, I'm not using it so much at all, really, but I anticipate a time where I will be. I don't know to what degree, but I'm going to be open to it when it comes. And I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to say, I'm not doing it. I'm going to be in the sandbox, man. I'm going to be experimenting all the time.
So you mentioned back office. Like, what kind of practical ways is your back office using AI?
The biggest ways that you can use AI within a company is a company gets a lot of data. It just sits there. You don't understand what to do with it. AI can look at data 1,000x better than a human can look at data and say, here's the patterns. Here's what we're seeing. Here's what's going on. Using AI to record all phone calls, for example. Magic. Because now I can see the questions that that people are asking. I can see the responses that we're giving. I can see the flaws in the way that we respond. I can see who the top performers are and the bottom performers are, you know, stuff like that. I can do, but I try to have my team constantly say, this task that I'm doing right now, my office team, could it be done with AI? Or could I at least ask AI, how could I do this task better using your help? And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. It's like, stop looking at AI like Google, start looking at it like a real assistant. If you had a real assistant that was really, really smart, you'd say, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can work together. What questions do you need to ask me? Let me ask you some questions. Let's see if we can come up with something here. That's powerful. That's what's possible if you're using AI the right way. That's the mindset that you should have when you approach it.
Yeah. What are the most common mistakes that contractors make in terms of producing content? I know a lot of people, they say they produce content. What are the most common mistakes that they should avoid doing?
Well, the most common mistake is they don't produce it. That is the most common. Second most common is they don't produce the content that people actually care about. You know, start with the questions that people want to know. The big five, cost, problems, comparisons, reviews, best. Like, those are the things that people want to know. You can read all about that, endless customers. They're not leaning into video like they should. They're overcomplicating it. They're making it, you know, they're thinking production value is a big deal when, you know, it's not. Like, you don't want it to be visually perfect to video. It needs to sound good, like audio-wise. But visually, use your dang phone. That's plenty, dude. But just go out there and do it. You need to just think on every job site, like, what's the visual story that I could show here? Most aren't thinking like that. Most don't hire a videographer. I think it's one of the best moves a company can make once they start to get a little bit bigger is to hire a videographer that's doing this full time. That's all they do. That's all they obsess about. Because lots of times people get caught up in the editing side of things. But if you can go out and shoot and just send that file to somebody and they can edit it for you, they can upload it for you, that's great. You can outsource that to somebody in the Philippines for $1,500 a month that's got a degree in you know, videography. And that's great. So, you know, that's an opportunity that I'm seeing that definitely... it's definitely there. It definitely works. Improvement that could be made. I'd say those are the majors.
So practically, so yeah, you said about videography. Practically, what revenue range do you think a contractor should start looking for, like for a videographer full time? Do you recommend outsourcing that to someone overseas or like if somebody in house?
Like, I'd like to do it in house if we can. But if like there's also systems I've seen that do definitely work, where it's like the contractor, the owner was the video person. But then they sent the video off overseas and that person did all the editing and uploading. That also works. Once you're above 2 million, you got to have at least one of those two.
2 million. Okay. I don't see that at all. Like for 2 million, I see it like rarely 2 million.
I see companies that are like 25 million. They don't have it in home improvement. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Extremely important. And I'll help you with everything, with social media, with YouTube.
Oh, the trickle down effects is crazy. Because you should be producing 3, 4, 5 videos a week as a company. You're like, what? Yeah. Because if you think about all the projects you're doing, every single one's got multiple videos that could come from it. And if you don't make them complicated videos, if you just shoot and talk about what the person's seeing, man, you get traction so fast. It's so easy. And, you know, you don't have to have it loaded with B-roll and fancy text in it. You don't got to have it, man. Just get there and just start producing and you'll see results.
What's your opinion? This is like my theory. What do you think about is ChatGPT kind of becoming a direct competitor to Google?
Of course it's a direct competitor.
By that is like, this is the first time in history like that I remember, because I remember for a fact myself, and I know the people younger, like, you know, Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, I'm using ChatGPT way more than Google. For information purposes, I use ChatGPT a lot more. And before I was using Google, and for sure, that's the first time I've seen a actual shift in behavior for mass people. And I think it's going to impact the future 100%. Like, what do you think about that? Like that, because a lot of people are saying it. Yeah, ChatGPT is still a small source of the leads. It's not a big, yeah, you're right. They're right. A lot of agencies say it's still a small source, like the 1% source of leads.
That is really naive and dumb thinking. I don't know. I don't like, it blows my mind. I've polled my audiences in the last 6 months. Every single one, I've said, how many of you are using ChatGPT more than Google at this point? And what I've seen with my audiences, 50% are raising their hand. next year, this time, it's probably going to be 60 to 70%. You know what I'm saying? It's like the whole world is going to shift away from legacy Google. Now, we might end up using Gemini as the main AI platform. I'm not sure yet. ChatGPT is leading the way. When you hear people say it's not affecting Google's traffic, that's utter BS. It's not true. It's impossible for that to be true because I'm barely ever using Google and I used to use them. That means it's affecting it. You know what I'm saying? It's like people say it's not affecting. I'm like, what planet are you on?
100%.
Everybody's going to figure this out. Like, oh, there's a better way to search here. How did I not know this? You know, the laggards eventually will not be laggards anymore. And they're all going to come on over, you know? I mean, it just takes a little bit of time, but eventually everybody shifts over and Google themselves realizes that they are going to have to really change their business model because the world is headed in a different direction where it's give me the answer, let me take the action, not give me a bunch of blue links.
Yeah, I think the argument is exactly what, it's not exactly that, but basically they're saying is that it's still not a major source of leads in terms of the home services space.
That's also, if you look at it, it's like, why is it not? Because most of the leads are coming from paid ads for most of these people anyway. There's not platforms on AI yet, although probably will be. They've done the studies on this, by the way, and they know that AI leads, somebody like is a lead from ChatGPT, the rough range is roughly, it's around 10 to 15x. Higher conversion rate. So that's 1,000 to 1,500% higher conversion rate if it's an AI-based lead versus if it's just a traditional Google lead. I mean, the conversion rates are through the roof. A lot of people are not like noticing it because they haven't put any emphasis on AI visibility. And so they're just not even realizing it, what's happening. That's why this is happening, where eventually, you know, everybody's going to be getting their leads from AI. Like, everybody's going to be identifying their contractors through AI. And it's going to be affecting you very much directly and indirectly. If you're asleep at this, just shame on you because you're just refusing. Now, it might not be full bore today, but it is 100%. It's just like I said, everything is like a 2 to 3 year window and the whole world looks different.
Yeah, and 100% I agree with you because just check about yourself. Put yourself, like you, contractor listening, you are using ChatGPT more than Google now. I'm sure you are. It's a shift in behavior that people are doing. And yes, not a major source of leads. It's maybe 1 or 2% according to Searchlight. But I 100% see the writing on the wall where there's going to be a major shift in next year. I think it's going to be a major source of leads next year. That's my prediction.
It's only going to grow. And many folks on this call are just going to continue to wonder why is all this old stuff that I was doing not working? I just don't understand. Well, because AI is not recommending you. That's the reason why.
Yeah, yeah. And any last closing thoughts? What do you think a contractor should be ready for next year? Because this is a year that's been it's one of the years that I've seen this shift a lot. What do you think is going to happen next year?
And I'm not going to say anything new here, but I think forced transparency is coming for every contractor when it comes to pricing. We've already said that. Estimators are just going to be table stakes. You got to start thinking like a media, get much more serious about video, and lean in as hard as you can on video. Every job is multiple videos. Start seeing it as that way. And third, what we just said, future is not in legacy Google. It's not in blue links. The future of search and the way people buy is by getting immediate answers. And that's why ads are not going to be really strong in 5 years, just because ads are friction. And as somebody that has a company that helps with ads, somebody that uses paid ads myself, I'm accepting that in about 5 years, I'm probably whatever I think I'm doing today, I'm not going to be doing then from a Google Ads perspective. It's going to look completely and utterly different in 5 years.
Yeah, I think you said it in another podcast where you've talked to a lot of people that overall the ads, Google Ads especially, you're not getting the same return as before.
No,
right?
No, everybody I talk to say I'm spending more than I've ever spent. I'm seeing less results than I've ever gotten. you know, that's, you know, now, does it matter the agency you work with? Yes, very much. Very, very much. That could be a part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is just, I mean, it's becoming a land grab, and you just got to be, man, you just got to do everything we talked about today.
Yeah, and in some locations, like if you're like a Dallas or bigger markets, and you're an HVAC company, you're competing against companies that are privately backed by a private equity, it's hard, man. It's hard to do it. You do Google Ads, especially with these guys that are spending a ton of money.
Yeah, beat them creatively. Yeah, beat them creatively. Beat them with video. You can do it.
Yeah. Marcus, where do people find you?
You can find me at marcussheridan.com. That's marcussheridan.com. I'm on LinkedIn, very active. Priceguide.ai, AItrustSignals.com for that free AI trust score, which is going to be really valuable if you check that out.
The link to these programs will be in the description, guys. So make sure check it out. Highly recommend you read his book, Endless Customers. It's, I think, the new way to do SEO, which we didn't even talk about SEO, but it's kind of the new way to create content.
Everything we talked about will feed your SEO.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.